definitely human.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It is the summer of 1927. Joy Dutton Cavendish and her unusual family of occult investigators have journeyed to India in search of a sinister cult and a possible cure for her horrifying affliction. Beneath the earth, they are trapped with a figure from Cornelia's past, an impossible encounter that sends their minds reeling. For how long have our heroes been embroiled in the conspiracy of Angela Gresley? Was this suffering always ordained for them? And will they ever escape the diabolical web of the Infinite Bad? The Ruins of Karajar, Part 7. In the attic of Cornelia's house in London, there is an oil painting. Dated 1882, it shows Cornelia Westchester and her fiancé, Brendel Cavendish, on the eve of their wedding. Beneath a heavy linen sheet tied with a ribbon, it lies buried like a relic. When she first arrived at Cornelia's 8 years ago, Joy would poke around the nooks and crannies of the house, avoiding the burden of her guardian's attention. She remembers stumbling across the painting once in those early days. She remembers how oddly calm the figures in the portrait looked. Brendel rigid, yet somehow still relaxed in his captain's uniform. Cornelia with the same piercing eyes Joy recognized, but hiding the hint of a smile and carefree in a morning dress. She looked so far from the combative and demanding woman that Joy met in Drakelow Hall. It was years before Joy summoned the courage to ask her mother about Brendel. One night before leaving for university, she found Cornelia in the attic, looking at the uncovered painting, a glass of sherry in hand. "What happened to him?" Joy asked. Her mother's excruciating silence must have lasted a minute. "The sea took him from me," she finally replied. "Him and the life we should have had." Cornelia smiled sadly at her, and Joy left her to her memories. Now, in some deep and ancient cave in the Indian jungle, Joy struggles to find her bearings. Her mind is clouded by dizziness, colors swirling in front of her. Joy can just distinguish the outline of Cornelia, wailing at a figure in the darkness.
"You're dead!
Cornelia!
You're dead!
It's me, Brendel!
I can't be here!
I've waited for so long, Cornelia.
I don't believe it! You can't have been gone for 39 years. You can't have been."
"When my ship was lost at sea, I knew you took it hard. I knew you searched for me. I met a man, Cornelia, Peter Fairbank, in Singapore. And he revealed secrets no man was meant to know. The truth of the world, the true destiny of mankind. And he kept me informed about you, Cornelia, about your travels, how you were searching for me, and I saw that you were taking an interest in the occult, in the very things which Peter Fairbank was revealing to me. It was so difficult not to reach out to you and make myself known. But I couldn't. I was working towards something greater than what we ever had. As sweet as that was. The final conjunction of all mankind, Cornelia.
I don't believe it. This is malaria!
He steps more closely to you. Joy, you're looking up and you can't see whoever Cornelia is talking to. That's because you're on the ground. You can see that she's talking to someone and increasingly becoming agitated. Brendel's stepping closer towards you, Cornelia. He says, it was I who suggested to Nigel Gresley that he should contact you about a donation to Drakelow Hall. I needed, as we're nearing the end now, and I needed to see you before the end. I needed you to see the nurse's handiwork. I thought you would be convinced of the inevitability of what lies ahead of all of us. I did not count on things taking such a violent turn. I suppose when your life becomes filled with so much horror for so long, you sometimes forget how terrifying it is to the uninitiated. He's continuing to step towards you, and he's now reaching up a hand towards you, but your eyes are fixated on his face. Joy, you're looking up, and you realise two things. You realise that Cornelia is not delirious. She is, in fact, talking to a man. You don't recognise him, but Cornelia seems beside herself. And you also notice that there's something, a feeling stirring in your gut.
So I'd like to have my gun handy. I'm a little bit woozy and I'm worried for Cornelia. I don't think it's Brendel. I think it's another sort of Peter Fairbanks, sort of like creepy dude in a three-piece suit spouting cult nonsense.
I'm going to shout down to Joy, like, who's down there with you?
Can you see me?
Yes, Dorothy can see Joy, but Cornelia has now stepped further into the chamber, so Dorothy can't see Cornelia.
Can Brendel see me?
You don't know. You're within eyeshot of him.
Joy, talk to me. Who's down there with you?
I don't know. I can't. I'm not sure.
Okay. I think at this point I might try to go down.
Okay.
So I'm going to...
I fixed the rope.
Yeah, I'm going to tighten the knots because that seemed like it was maybe a problem last time. Mm-hmm. So shall I...
Make a dexterity check.
20.
Nice. Oh. All right.
Pirouette down.
Now they're actually as tight as we thought they were.
Yeah. Okay. So I do my Boy Scout thing on that. And then 16.
Nice. Hey. Perfect. So you lower yourself down without taking any damage.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, girl.
Okay. And I've got my gun.
You got your gun. You're right next to Sebastian.
And I can see Cornelia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Brendel, right?
Brendel.
And I can see him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to raise my gun at him and go over to Cornelia.
Okay. Brendel is ignoring both Joy and Dorothy, and he reaches towards Cornelia and he says,
"It's enough. It's enough, Cornelia. Come with me."
Cornelia, do you know this man?
That is an apparition in the form of my late husband.
Cornelia, that's not an apparition. There...
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm going to need
yes,
you to...
Yes, it is.
I'm going to need you to back away, sir.
Okay, Brendel's brow furrows with anguish. He's hurt that Cornelia is referring to him in this way. And he says, "Cornelia, no, it's me." And then his eyes bulge and he groans and he says, "Cornelia, please." But it's a groan that seems unbidden, as if the air is being pushed from his lungs from the inside. And then he comes apart. As his suit splits, you only are able to see his naked body for an instant before the knuckles break the skin and hundreds of hands burst from inside his body like a swollen egg sac. The silhouette of the monster that you all saw in Drakelow Hall is now revealed in all its terrible vividness. Brendel screams in obvious agony, and he's still stumbling towards you. "My love! My love! Hold me just once more!"
Okay, I shoot all that I can shoot.
I'm swinging my flaming sword at him.
Okay, all of you make wisdom saves. Sebastian's that mercifully unconscious.
8.
20.
1.
Oh!
I mean, if ever it was going to be 1.
I mean, that's fair. I understand, but like, what?
Joy, you got 11?
What? 8.
8, sorry. You gain 25 dread. You got a 20.
Mm-hmm.
You gain 10 dread. You're you're going to kill this thing, whatever it is. Cornelia, You gained another 40 dread.
Oh my god.
Good thing it's not out of 100, huh? Because I'm on 135.
Okay. Okay, roll for initiative.
13.
Me as well.
Yes, you as well, Joy.
17.
15.
Brendel steps towards you, Cornelium.
I do not believe it's him. I'm going to swing my machete torch.
Okay, make an attack roll.
It looks like just a mass of hands now.
Yes, with Brendel's face is still seething amidst this nest of pillar of hands.
10.
Okay, you hit it. And you're slicing off fingers and charred bits of flesh and hair start flying off this pillar of knuckles and fingers and forearms. Okay, so Joy.
I want to scramble to my feet, I guess, and sort of get in between Brendel and Cornelia and take aim at his head. If that makes any difference at this point.
Okay, yeah, make an attack roll.
20.
God damn.
Okay. A surge of protectiveness overpowers you as you can see this thing bearing down on Cornelia, and you take aim, squint one eye, and fire. Roll
2d10.
12. 12. Wow. Okay. So the shot goes straight into Brendel's forehead, and the pillar of hands and forearms temporarily stumbles back, and you can see Brendel's eyes roll up into his head, and he kind of slouches forward again towards you, Cornelia, and you can see that there's just white viscous fluid is flowing out of his eye socket, and one half of his face is dropped as if he's just suffered a stroke. And he looks over at you, Cornelia, this monstrous visage that you still recognize as your long-lost husband, saying, "Oh, just once more! Dorothy.
I shoot. I'm just shooting. 12.
I roll 2d10 as well. Yeah, that one. And again.
14.
Again, this you don't manage to hit it in the head, but you fire a shot right where you assume its chest used to be. It stumbles back again. You can see that there's blood pouring out and along the forearms that seem to be nesting across every available surface of its body. Sebastian, you're on one hit point now, groggily coming back to consciousness.
I'm on one. You're on one?
One.
I'm on three.
And you're on one.
It's great. You're all doing really well.
Okay.
Okay, so you're groggily coming back to consciousness, Sebastian. Make a perception check so I can tell you what you see.
10.
So there's a lot of stuff going on.
I'm so tired.
Yeah. So multiple gunshots have woken you up. And basically you can see that Cornelia is holding aloft what looks like a torch, and she's slashing it at some fleshy thing, which both Joy and Dorothy are just like firing their pistols at furiously. You can see in the light of the torch that there is not one, but dozens of monoliths also around you, similar to the ones that you saw both at Dregla Hall and in the deserts near the tomb of Rens Nefis. You can also see what looks like a passage.
Mm-hmm. I guess I jump to my feet and run over to the gang. And we have to go now. We're going. There's a passageway. I see a passageway just there. And we're going to go through it now. Yes?
Okay.
And then I'll shoot. 12.
12, that's a hit. Yeah, roll for damage. 2d10.
Seven.
Okay, so Cornelia, you are struck in the face by a piece of hand that has been sliced off of Brendel's body by the shot that Sebastian fires. And you turn around and you can see that now everyone is conscious around you, all focused in on Brendel, firing their pistols with a reckless abandon. And Sebastian also seems to be gesturing towards the side passage, and your eyes flicker towards it, and you can see that there is a narrow shaft that seems to be sloped upwards, almost as if it's like an air vent that is sloped upwards that you feel like you could climb up. But then your eyes drift back to Brendel, and he's in front of you, and he's still begging for your attention.
Brendel's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are kind of around me.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the side passage? Is it literally to the side?
Yeah, it's to your right.
Okay. I would like to move in that direction whilst not turning away.
Okay.
I see it, Sebastian. Let's go!
Okay, as you start making your way towards it, Joy, the sensation in your stomach starts to become a sharp, lancing pain. And as you start moving alongside, staying within the nimbus of light that Cornelia is able to provide with her torch, and keeping your gun trained on Brendel, you start to notice that the light from the torch is reflecting off of multiple things in this cavern now. The pain makes you almost want to double over, but you manage to stay upright because you realize the dire situation that you find yourself in. But you can see the light from the torch is being reflected off of dozens of eyes in the darkness. Eyes which are not at the height of a human head. They're more like something is crouched or something is crawling on all fours. And then occasionally you catch a glimpse, a flash of something pale lurking in the corners, in the margins of this room. It seems to be staying outside of the radius of this light. Make a constitution check.
12.
Okay, you manage to stay upright and standing. Dorothy.
Am I close to Joy?
Yeah.
Can I do a perception check to see if I'm noticing her distress?
Yeah.
9.
You can see that she kind of winced and doubled over slightly, but you assume that might be because she fell.
Okay. And we're sort of all moving towards the escape route right now, right? Okay, so I'm going to kind of do the same thing. I'm going to move, like, backing up, and I'm going to shoot at the hand monster.
Take another shot.
9.
That's a miss. Your shot rings out, but because you're concerned looking at Joy, your aim went wide. Sebastian.
Yeah, I guess I'm taking up the rear, and I will also try and take a shot. 8.
Your shot also goes wide, but you're very near to the mouth of this vent now. So who wants to go in first? Cornelia, you could go in first if you wanted to.
Sure.
Let's go.
I don't think I'm going to be brave and stick around.
So do you want to... you're going to need to drop your torch.
Wait, why? What?
Well, it's... So basically, you need to scramble up it on all fours. It's very tight and quite steep.
You can see daylight at the top, or?
Yes, you can.
Do you want to hand the torch to me as you go? I'll hold it whilst you go, and everyone can go, and then we'll have light still. And we'll just be scrabbling in the dark.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so you hand it to Sebastian.
Yeah.
Okay, make an athletics check as you start scrambling your way up.
13.
You find that, mercifully, this tunnel has vines which are kind of going down the sides of it, and you can use these vines to help you hoist yourself up. And you manage to make it. It's an incredibly tight scramble, but you start managing to make your way up. Who's next? Joy.
Me.
You also start going up. Make an acrobatics check at advantage.
12.
Great. Okay. You're making your way up with very few problems as well, Dorothy.
Yeah. 9.
Okay, so you are making your way up, but you have a bit of a slip, and the vine that you had grabbed to try to make your way up snaps, and you slide back down just as Sebastian was going up. Sebastian, make a strength check to push her.
1.
Sebastian, you are plunged back down to the entrance of the air vent. And the thing, Brendel, manages to get its hands on you.
And what about me? Am I still falling?
You're right in front of Sebastian, basically.
Behind?
Behind. Yeah. Yeah, relative to...
Like, you're so in the air event, but just
exactly,
right. Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so... You've been grabbed, basically. What would you like to do, Dorothy?
I'm going to shoot at...
Okay, you need to make a shot. Go for it.
12.
That's a hit. Roll for damage.
That's 2d10.
Mm-hmm.
6.
Okay, so it's enough to get the Brendel off of Sebastian. But Sebastian, make a constitution save.
5.
Sebastian's fallen unconscious again.
Cool.
So, Dorothy, you're going to need to try to drag him up. But, Joy, you can hear that something bad has happened behind you. There's enough space for you to turn around and see what's happened, that Sebastian's fallen behind, Dorothy's stayed behind to try to get Sebastian, has fired a gun.
Can I shout up to Joy and also keep shooting at the hand monster? So Joy, yep. I need you down here. Can you grab Sebastian while I keep the hand monster at bay?
Where's Cornelia in the passageway?
Is she
nearly at the entrance?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Because I don't want her coming back. I want to make sure she's safe, so.
Yep. I mean, Cornelia assumes that everyone's right behind
her. Okay, right now. Dorothy, I'm coming down! I'll help you.
I think if you say that, Cornelia can work it out.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not exactly a riddle.
Yeah.
But okay, no, that's fine.
You say almost there or something.
Almost there. I'm coming.
Okay. So you go back down, and what are you trying to do here?
I mean, I think I'm just, what am I doing? Grabbing Sebastian.
Grabbing Sebastian.
Yeah. Well, but is he completely passed out?
Yeah.
Can I pull Sebastian up the
air? You can try.
I'll try.
You can try.
10.
Okay, so you start dragging him up very slowly. Dorothy, you can help Joy, or you can keep shooting.
How far away is the hand monster?
It's at the mouth of this vent.
But it's like really close, so
you're
saying.
It's literally right in front
of you. It's like right in front of us, and it hasn't, it's not like shocked by all of my expert gunmen.
It's wounded. It's certainly wounded. It's bleeding profusely. There's blood everywhere.
Okay.
What's happened with the machete you're holding, or Sebastian? Because Sebastian did have it, but now he's passed out. So where is it?
I think it's just at the foot of the vent.
Okay, so it's on the floor, but it's causing light.
Can't you grab it and start slicing the fingers away? No more grabby.
I mean, I guess I feel like I could keep. I feel like it's a choice between either I keep shooting or I try to help you. But it feels like if I try to help, unless we get this monster to be at least dazed, it's still gonna be able to come after and grab us. Could we light it on fire? Could we try to do that?
Tell me what you want to do.
Yeah. So I'm gonna grab the machete that's on fire, and I'm just gonna.
I mean, you could like stab it. I mean, it's a whole machete, like really stab.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So I'll try to really plant that machete into the hand monster with it on fire.
Okay, go for it. Make an attack roll.
7.
So unfortunately the machete clatters into the side of the tunnel. You're going straight for the torso, but one of the hands like just darts out of nowhere and bats it to the side.
I'll keep pulling.
Yep, keep pulling. Joy, make another strength check.
3.
You don't manage to pull him any further. Cornelia, you're at the top of the tunnel now.
Am I noticing like a conspicuous lack of my colleagues behind me?
Yes.
Okay, I want to look. Can I see?
Yeah, you can see right at the bottom of this like 50-foot shaft. You can hear gunshots ringing out. You can see the flickering of the torch still. You can hear screaming.
What's going on down there?
Cornelia, don't come down. Stay up there. Stay safe.
No,
Cornelia, it's fine. I'm just pulling up. I'm pulling up.
Are you Sebastian. In danger?
No, we've got
an elastic. I'm coming down! I'd like to shuffle down the air vent again.
Okay, you're shuffling down. Joy, make a strength check.
6.
You still can't make any headway with Sebastian's huge bulk slowing you down. Dorothy.
I'm going to take another shot at the monster.
Go for it.
17.
Okay, so you managed to thrust your machete right into the heart of this nest of hands and forearms, and it screams, it squeals, this almost insectoid, high-pitched squeal as it takes a step back, and you can see, in fact, that parts of it do start catching fire as bits of gauze embed themselves within its flesh. And it takes a step back, giving you enough space, you think, to be able to help Joy to carry Sebastian.
Wonderful.
Okay, make a strength check at advantage.
19.
Okay, so between the two of you, you start being able to carry Sebastian quite quickly up this vent. Cornelia, as you're going back down, you can see that they're coming up.
Well, I'd like to turn around then, and I guess.
Okay, as you are just coming out of the vent, finally, the last thing you hear, just above and through the screams of Brendel, whatever the thing is that Brendel has become, is the sound of Greta's voice also screaming, begging Theo to stop.
From within the chamber that we were just in, or from Does it sound like they went down into the...
It's difficult to tell whether it was in the lower chamber or in the upper chamber. As you emerge out into the jungle, you can see that this this cave complex, everything seems to be moving, that there's rock and scree tumbling down and dust falling everywhere, and you don't know whether it's something stirring beneath or the gunshots that have constantly been ringing out within it. But you can sense that there's going to be another landslide happening here soon, so you might want to clear the area.
Can we see, you said, you know, there were, when we were in the chamber, there were, you know, light coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a hole with the pulleys.
Yeah, exactly. Can we go mm-hmm. and find that and see if we can look down and see if we can see Greta and Theo is there?
Yeah, you can see. I mean, you can basically trace the point where it would have been.
Well, I'd like to do that.
Okay, make perception checks.
11.
18. 10.
Yeah, you figure you can see the places where there were these holes that you could see into the cave. Do you want to make your way towards them?
Yeah.
Okay, make an acrobatics check at advantage. The footing is quite uneven and difficult.
6.
So it's slow going. You manage to get there, but you have to be on your hands and knees, basically on all fours, scrambling over just jungle vines and various loose rocks, and everything is a little bit uneven and unsteady at the moment. You get to what you reckon is the ceiling of the upper chamber you were in, and you can see down beneath. What you can see is that Greta is looking down the hole. You can't see Theo in the upper chamber. She's looking down and crying and just screaming and weeping. And you can see that the lower chamber is just this writhing, pulsing mass of thousands of these white anthropoid things. I don't know if Joy has seen them before.
I've never seen them before.
No, yeah, they look like stunted humanoids. They looked a bit like what you saw in the Canopic jar in Egypt. It's kind of crudely formed humanoid features. And that's the last thing you can see before beneath you, the cave starts to fall. And you're on top of it. You need to start running right now because you can see that it's collapsing underneath you. Make an acrobatics check to get back to
Firmland.
Yeah.
15.
Okay, you manage just in the nick of time to scramble back onto the kind of the firmer ground surrounding this cave complex where the rest of you are. But you can see that basically this cave complex has just collapsed in on itself entirely.
So I'm back with the group?
Now you're back with the group. And you can tell them what you
saw. What did you see?
We've lost them. The whole cave collapsed in the landslide. It looked like Theo had gone down the hole after us, and there were just... Down in the hole, there were these tiny little human creatures. I've never seen them before. There's nothing we can do. I mean, there's nothing we can do.
A light patter of rain falls upon our heroes, who gaze listlessly at one another in a state of profound hopelessness. Dorothy sinks slowly to the ground, burying her face in her hands. Cornelia glares defiantly at the rubble, digging her fingernails into her palms to stop the shaking. Sebastian lies on his back, his unconscious face fixed in a permanent frown. Joy looks at her companions, her dear friends, and her heart breaks. These people have protected her, supported her for what seems like her whole life, but she is no longer the frightened, angry little girl she once was. She has grown into a young adult, and with that comes the burden of responsibility and duty. Now she must try her best to protect them. This is my family, she thinks. I would die for them. And her stomach tightens. You've been listening to The Ruins of Carajar, written by Giorgio Mariani and produced and edited by David Knight and Tom Dalling, with music by Jonathan Day. Starring Eleanor Kohler as Dorothy Taylor, Maximilian John as Cornelia Cavendish, David Knight as Sebastian St. Battenberg, and Charlie May as Joy Dutton Cavendish. I am Giorgio Mariani, Game Master. You can follow us on Twitter at The Infinite Bad and support the production of this series on Patreon. That's patreon.com/definitelyhuman. The Infinite Bad is a Definitely Human production.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.